Bishop Michael Saltarelli's statement, Through Mary to Jesus, the Spiritual Value of the Rosary.
St. Anne's Church in Wilmington, Delaware, has an unusual monstrance, the vessel used to display the Holy Eucharist for public veneration. The stem is the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her arms raised and holding aloft the traditional sunburst and luna which holds the host. Inscribed, Per Mariam ad Jesum, Through Mary to Jesus. These words sum up our doctrine, devotion, and art associated with the Mother of God. The devotion to Mary is first of all rooted in the Word of God and the faithful witness of sacred tradition. The fathers of the Second Vatican Council recalled Mary's prophetic words, first spoken to Elizabeth and recorded in Luke's Gospel, All nations shall call me blessed. Our Lady's place in salvation history is also confirmed time and again in countless apparitions throughout the world. It is abundantly clear that the role assigned to her by the Father is to lead the faithful ever closer to Jesus, the Son of God, and the Son of Mary. Authentic, vibrant, and effective Marian devotion invites us ever deeper into the mystery of Jesus and the great truths of salvation history. Beautiful hymns, both traditional and contemporary, artistic images of the Virgin Mother in wood, stone, paint, and stained glass, and devotions and prayers like the Litany of Loreto, the Memorare, the Salve Regina. These express our love for God's Mother and His Son. The Rosary, in particular, helps us encounter and ponder the mysteries of God's grace in Christ. We reflect on Jesus and His so-called hidden life prior to His public ministry, His passion, death, and resurrection, His ascension to the Father and sending of the Holy Spirit, and His heavenly ministry until His return in glory. Through His Holy Mother, we come to know and love Him more and more, and we grow in our understanding, however imperfect and incomplete, of the sublime truth of who and what Jesus is, for us personally, and also for our church and world. Of all the ways we honor Mary and give glory to her divine Son, the most recognized, the most common, and the most powerful is the Holy Rosary. Consider its history, its simplicity, and its power. The use of prayer beads, of course, is something we Catholics share with Muslims and Hindus. In our tradition, the Rosary developed in the 12th century as various tender devotions to Jesus and Mary coalesced. Since educated clergy and religious prayed the 150 Psalms in their daily breviary, the custom arose of having peasant folk pray the so-called Psalter of 150 Lord's Prayers. The beads at that time were called Paternosters, in English, Our Fathers. The idea was copied for Marian devotions, and the word of the angel Gabriel was used to recall and relive the joy of the Annunciation. The words of Elizabeth, Blessed are you among women, were added to the Ave in the early 12th century. Psalters of Our Lady began to apply each psalm to some aspect of the life of Jesus or Mary. At first, only the Annunciation was used for meditation while praying with beads. Later, 5, 10, 15, or 20 joys were recalled. 14th century devotion to the Sorrowful Mother led to meditation on the sorrowful mysteries of Our Lady during the second chaplet of 50 prayers. Later, the third series of 50 Aves were devoted to the heavenly joys of the Blessed Mother. Rosarium is a Latin term meaning a garden of roses, used to designate 50 phrases reflecting on Mary's joys, each attached to an Ave. Thus, 5 decades were called a rosary, while the entire 15 decades were called a Psalter. Some people prayed the Lord's Prayer and the Ave together, reflecting on 150 mysteries. To make the devotion more usable, the mysteries were reduced to 15. These are the same as the ones currently in use, except that the Assumption and Coronation used to be combined, and the Last Judgment was the final mystery. By the 15th century, the rosary had developed as we know it today, along with the second half of the Hail Mary. The Carthusians contributed greatly to the development of the rosary, but it was the Dominicans who promoted its widespread use. Saints like Peter Canisius, Philip Neri, Louis de Montfort became great advocates of the devotion, as did the popes, who attached various indulgences to its use. Praying the rosary was credited with the victory over the Turks at Lepanto on October 7, 1571, which inspired Pius V to insert the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary into the Universal Church calendar. Leo XIII became the Pope of the Rosary, and Pius XI granted a plenary indulgence for praying the rosary before the Blessed Sacrament. Like other Marian devotions, the beads in recent years have enjoyed a tremendous resurgence in popularity. We pray the rosary standing at the kitchen sink, driving the car, in the waiting area of a hospital emergency room, or meditating quietly after Mass. We receive rosaries on our first Holy Communion day, and most of us will be buried with one entwined between our fingers. It appeals to us because of its childlike simplicity, its long tradition, and its familiarity far beyond the Church as an identifying mark of a Catholic Christian. Some grew up with a mistaken notion that this devotion is simply a monotonous chain of repetitive prayers. Today, however, Catholics who pray the Rosary frequently seem to have recovered the original sense that the prayers form a kind of background music to meditation on the mysteries of Jesus and Mary. Many pamphlets and booklets use scriptural passages and short reflections between the beads to direct our thoughts and prayers to the mystery of each decade. There are rosary meditations which are directed to expectant moms, teenagers, vocations, the elderly, and others. Let us use the rosary to reflect on the gospel call to justice and the plea of our Holy Father to deepen our solidarity with victims of suffering, poverty, and injustice. Following are a few ideas which might stimulate your own creative thoughts about how to relate these ancient mysteries of our faith to the joy and hope, the grief and anguish of the people of our time. The Annunciation can remind us of countless young women and girls who suddenly and unexpectedly find themselves with child. Even Mary, who conceived Jesus immaculately, was troubled at the angel's words. Are we quick to condemn the welfare mother with many children? Do we reach out to help the woman with an unplanned, unexpected, perhaps unwanted pregnancy? Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth reflects our special duty to the sick, the homebound, those in hospitals and nursing homes, and those in prison we must never forget or despise. The Nativity of our Lord laid in a feed box in a cave where animals were kept is not just the romantic image of the family creche beneath our Christmas tree. The circumstances of his birth remind us of the abject poverty which our Lord embraced, the human condition which he took upon himself, becoming like us in all things but sin. What a special love God has for the poor. How will he judge our compassion and concern for the needy in our time, our place? The presentation in the temple reveals the diligence of Joseph and Mary in fulfilling the precepts of the law. It was most important to them to raise their son in the traditions of their ancestors and the rituals and customs of the Jewish faith. How Catholic parents and grandparents grieve today over children and grandchildren who no longer come to Mass and the sacraments. Like Saint Monica, who wept and prayed for her son Augustine, who later became a great doctor of the Church. Let this mystery inspire in us heartfelt prayer for fallen away Catholics and children whose parents neglect their spiritual and moral nourishment. When Joseph and Mary realized their son was missing, they were deeply upset until they found him in the temple talking with the elders. This mystery also echoes the painful reality of families divided by hurt and unforgiveness, marriages and other relationships that desperately need reconciliation. The agony in the garden was a time of intense loneliness for our Lord. It pointed prophetically to the pain he would later experience when, rather than just falling asleep, his disciples would abandon him. We might use this mystery to consider the lonely and forgotten of this world and those stung by the bitter wound of betrayal. The scourging at the pillar is a powerful image that embodies the words of Isaiah. It was our sufferings that he endured. By his stripes we were healed. This mystery reminds us of those who suffer unjustly, victims of religious persecution, economic exploitation, physical and sexual abuse. It can also represent people like police and firefighters and those in the armed forces who place themselves in harm's way for the well-being of others. The crowning with thorns, like the words nailed to the cross, was a prophetic ridicule of Jesus' identity as the King of the Jews. Perhaps this mystery should confront us with sins like gossip and ridicule, like the tiny wound made by each individual thorn. They can together cause great pain in the hearts of their victims. Jesus takes up his cross. As difficult as it may be for many of us to bear life's burdens without complaining, our Lord's silent suffering reminds us of people who humbly and courageously accept their lot in life, even when it is the result of injustice or inequality. How often people work at rather menial tasks to provide for the comfort and convenience of the rest of us. The crosses of others may seem small to us, but their weight grows as they are carried, often for years and years. It is our sins that nail Jesus to the cross. It is tempting to focus on the betrayal of Judas, the plotting of the Jewish leaders, the false accusations of the witnesses at his trial, and the cowardice of Pilate. In the same way, we can blame all the world's ills on someone else. This mystery confronts us with our need to accept responsibility, both for the death of Jesus caused by our sins and his continuing crucifixion in the flesh of those who are victimized by our greed, suspicion, fear, gossip, indifference, and unforgiveness. The resurrection of our Lord is the event that broke the chains of death forever. Yet there are so many people in our world today who remain captives. Some, especially nations burdened by crushing debt, are enslaved by economic exploitation. Others are shackled by poverty, ignorance, and disease. Still others are enslaved by prejudice and injustice. All of these need the transforming grace of Christ rising from the tomb. When Jesus ascended to the Father, his disciples were standing around looking heavenward. The Acts of the Apostles records that an angel scolded them for standing around when there was work to be done. We believers always face a temptation to escape into religiosity and to neglect the gospel call to witness to the world by lives of service. Some will be converted by preaching, but others will be touched by and attracted to God when we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, and care for the sick. Pentecost marks the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, gathered at prayer in the upper room with Our Lady. The scriptures tell us that the apostles began to preach in many different languages as the Spirit inspired them. It is easy to confuse unity with uniformity. Yet the Catholic or Universal Church embraces many rites, Latin and Eastern, and people of every race, language, and way of life. This mystery of the Holy Spirit's descent calls us to a deeper appreciation for the unity in diversity which is the Church. As our nation and community change daily with the influx and growth of various ethnic groups and an ever larger Muslim population, these changes challenge us to demonstrate a profound respect to those who may be quite different from us. The assumption of Mary, body and soul, into heaven points to the goodness of creation, the sacredness of human sexuality, and the destiny of our physical being in a life beyond this world. This mystery reminds us of the reverent care we owe to the human body, both in life and in death. It calls us to work for an end to pornography, physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, and all forms of sexism. It also reminds us of our duty to faithfully and fully observe our Catholic funeral rites. When Our Lady was crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth, she also became Queen of our hearts. Because this handmaid of the Lord was humble and obedient in accepting God's will, she became His first disciple and an instrument of His divine grace. We honor her not only by admiring her and singing her praises, but also by imitating her great virtue. Perhaps this final mystery should remind us to cling to Mary not only in our life of prayer, but also in our daily struggle to live the faith given to us by her Son.